So I'm here with Anicha Perez.
Hello.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Of course, my pleasure.
Yes, so first thing, how your time has been in Fort Myers so far? What's your impression of Florida and everything that you've done so far?
Well, Neri has treated me like a king. The hospitality, the energy of the people, really, really unique, different than in Europe. And I've had a great time here so far, yes. It's a totally different area for us Europeans. Florida is a little bit like, it looks like a fake world. Like everything is out of plastic and you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's because I'm living in another world, basically.
Yes, yes.
But no, I had a great time, and the energy and the willingness of learning was amazing.
You think you will return again to do
Absolutely.
More workshops?
Yes. Yeah. 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 We are planning with Neri on doing a project together, maybe a little tour in the States. So I will be back.
Great. So first thing, I guess, to learn more about you. You're kind of a unique individual in the sense that you are a musician and you are a dancer. And in my experiences, I don't get to see those type of individuals very often. It's normally person either a musician or a dancer. You do both. So how did you get started? What were you first? And what kind of get you going, continue to do these things?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg. Both things were always there. But my first big love was music.
Mm-hmm.
So dance was not so important when I was young. And I studied classical guitar in the conservatory in Quito with a Cuban teacher who was very strict. And I love that Cuban-Russian didactic, that mentality. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you very good results in whatever you want to do, boxing or arts or science. Or in this time, it was classical guitar. And my mom always listened to salsa in the kitchen, so the salsa comes more from my mom. My father was playing a lot of piano. He's not a professional piano player, but music was always in our home, a lot of music. So my love for salsa or for music was always there. First classical guitar or jazz, and then when I got older, salsa took over. And then I discovered the dance, and then I went all into the dance and I left music a little bit apart. And now I'm trying to combine both worlds. And during the pandemic, I bought a looper and I started to play with a looper in my basement and connecting sounds. And then I created this system of musicality where people can see how each layer is being, how you build up a salsa groove, and technique today helps. This looper helps a lot. So it's a process. It's a long process. And I think now I have developed like the perfect product, the mm-hmm. perfect combination of music, of technology, of dance. I have enough experience in the salsa world. I've been dancing more than 20 years. So I think the best Anicha in the salsa scene is now there. Now it's like the flower is perfect now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What has been more difficult, to learn how to dance or to learn music?
I think it depends a little bit. Music is more an introverted art. You have to concentrate more. You have to go inside you. And dancing is more an extroverted art. You have to lead somebody else. You have to move your whole body. You have to project the energy outside. So they are different. They are both difficult,
mm-hmm.
but different ways of different energies. I would describe it as more introverted. For me, music is more something I do for me. Of course, people are listening, but I'm more with me. And dancing, I'm more dancing for the people, mm-hmm. more outside. The ear does not forgive. So you expect from a musician absolute perfection. Otherwise, mm. you will not listen to his music.
Mm.
And the eye is forgiving. So if you do mistakes as a dancer, or if you don't step the rhythm precisely, nobody cares. I mean, it doesn't bother my eye. I mean, I always compare it. If you go to a cheap hotel and you have like ugly art
right.
in the room, it bothers. It doesn't bother you so much. But if you have a bad sound,
right.
well, then it bothers you immediately.
Right.
So I think that's very unfair. Musicians, they have to be immaculate. They have to be perfect. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the music will nobody will listen to that music. And if you compare it with the grades in high school or university, I don't know how it is here in the States, but in Europe, if you have like 85% is like already the best note. It's like in Germany, it's a one. So
mm-hmm.
if you have like 85% of the score of the points in the exam, you have an excellent exam. But if you do music and you do 85% of the song, you play it correctly and you have a margin of mistake of 15%, it will sound horrible.
Mm.
Nobody will listen to your music. Ears are unforgiving. So I think in this sense, making music is more difficult.
Mm. Which makes sense.
Yeah. And dancers, you can cover mistakes and you can do it with, you can put some energy. You can cover a lot. You can cheat your way to yes. through dancing. And music, no. If I play the clave wrong right. rhythm, you don't feel the groove, correct. And that's it.
Correct. Music more precise.
Yeah.
That needs to be executed exactly.
Much more, yeah, precise. Yeah.
How many musical instruments do you play?
Well, my main instrument is the guitar. I play the Cuban tres, which is like the first piano in salsa. So the Spanish, they brought the guitar to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubans, they in order to play it louder, they make bigger spaces between the chords,
mm-hmm.
so they can really hit the chords strongly because there was no amplification back then, and they used metal chords. So and they doubled the chords, so they are even louder. And that's why piano players play a lot of salsa tumbaos with two fingers. So they play the octave, king, ku, king, kung, king, and this octave sound comes from the tres, from the Cuban tres. And if you don't know what a tres is, maybe you know the sound of Buena Vista Social Club, this metallic guitar, that's a Cuban tres.
Mm.
Yeah, I really love this instrument. And then I play percussion. I love to play conga. I play all the minor percussion. But my strong instrument is guitar and tres.
You seem to play quite a few instruments because you did clave, you did the
maracas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not mentioning everything.
No, I'm right? not mentioning everything. Yes, maybe for me it's like obvious,
right?
But you're right. If you want to play maracas properly, it takes a lot of time. If you want to play güiro, it takes a lot of time. I play all these minor percussion instruments as well. And I think I play on a level which is good enough for my necessities.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't dare to consider myself a percussionist because mm-hmm. they have to be even better.
Mm-hmm.
So I know enough to teach and I do it correctly, but I mean, the sky is the limit. So
yes,
there
yes.
is a lot of, there is a lot to learn.
Is there a particular musical instrument that you would deem the most important for the beginners who trying to learn how to dance in particular?
Yeah, I would go with the very simple with güiro and cowbell. So for beginners, I always use the duk, 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 the one, the three, the five, the seven. Very simple, very straightforward. So they can really go duk, 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 duk. So a güiro in combination with cowbell. It's very... It's a very straightforward rhythm. I would never start with conga, clave, bass, with these upbeat instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a salsa teacher, it's always good to start with the simple rhythms.
With those simple rhythms, I know there are a couple apps online that can help you to oscillate different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see more value in oscillating instrument to train your ear and to move to a one instrument at a time? Or do you think it's more advantageous, more important to put everything together, all the instruments, and listen to all instruments at once?
Rhythm is always a beat in relation to a consistent thing. So if I if you just use one instrument and you sing it and you don't have a reference, then you might be going off timing. So always it's good to have like at least two things. One thing, a metronome, your foot, your voice, something which is not moving. Mm-hmm. It's going at the same speed. And then on top of that thing, you have to play an instrument or sing. For example, if I put a clave here, the clave would be ba, 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 but the metronome cannot move. If I just sing the clave, ba, 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 it can be faster and slower. So you need always a reference, which is a metronome, a guido, a counting, and then you put one instrument on top and then the next. So I would suggest always go with two things is the minimum. Mm-hmm. One beat plus one instrument. Mm-hmm. And then two instruments. Then three, then four, and then the whole band.
Okay. So yeah. Build up from two.
Yes.
Okay.
Always, yeah.
What is the significance of clave? And I want to keep it broad because I've been getting a lot of different information about it. So I want to kind of ask you a general question. Obviously, it seemed to be very, very significant instrument. I think you mentioned it's probably the most important instrument.
Yes.
But what is the significance of clave? How would you explain it to somebody who doesn't know about it and who's trying to learn how to dance?
It's not so difficult. I mean, all the music which comes from Africa has this call and response tradition. Because if you listen to African music, you always have a chorus. And then a solo singer responding to that. So it's always call, response, call, response. You have that in blues as well. You have that in a lot of music. And the magic of the clave is that the first part of the clave is creating tension. You have the tension there and then you have the release. So it's always like I'm asking you something and then you are answering. It's always that tension release, that call response, that question answer energy of the clave. So that's basically the energy behind the clave. You put tension in some parts and then you release the tension. Mm-hmm. And I think we humans, we love tension release. We love it in history, in stories. We love it in films. We love it in music. We love it in human relationships, a flat story, a flat meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a good meal, you have something salty, maybe combined with something sweet or sour or what. If a good cook creates tension on a plate, and a clave creates tension in music, and even more the rumba clave, you have tension, da, 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 release. Tension, even more tension, more release. Backing. Backing. So I think that the main contribution of clave is to include that African heritage of call and response into salsa. Mm-hmm.
The knowledge that you've conveyed this weekend, information that you've covered, was very extensive because you went through 4 to 5 musical instruments, you broke down the counts of those instruments, and you explained how it all fits in within salsa and mambo. Why do you think, well, I guess first, that type of information is not, I think, readily available everywhere. Do you think part of it is people don't have the knowledge of that information, or do you think that people maybe don't know the importance of that information?
Well, I think a lot of my colleagues, they have the knowledge, I know that. But maybe they don't have the patience to break it down. It's more, I think it would be a patience thing. A lot of my colleagues, they are very talented, great dancers. And maybe it's more fun to focus on the advanced students and advanced and talented people. They copy anyways. So there are, if you have a room with 100 students, there will be 3 or 4 guys or girls. Whatever, how bad you explain, it doesn't matter. They will copy you and they will do it perfectly because they are talented. And it's very easy to get seducted by those 4 guys behind you who are talented. And I did the same mistakes as a teacher a lot of years. But then I realized, well, they will learn it anyway because they are talented. I want to change my method and I want to explain it for everybody, for everybody, really for everybody, for the last person in the room. Everybody should understand it. And I think it's just the way you approach your teaching. Do you want to teach for the more talented? Do you want to teach for everybody? And a lot of dancers, they chose maybe to teach more the talented, which is fine because you need in the spectrum of salsa teachers, you need a different ways of all different teachers. So I'm filling now the gap of really teaching for everybody. But I think it's important to have also a type of teacher like, I don't know, like Michael Fons. I really respect him and I love his dancing. And he's like an animal on stage. He gives you energy and he goes and you get energy. You might not get an explanation where it comes from, the counts, but you get, it's a different way of teaching.
Right.
So for students, it would be advisable to start with me and then go to Michael Fons and not the other way around. Just to give you an example. And I'm talking about like the famous teachers. And then there are a lot of not famous teachers who really don't have the knowledge. And there is a lot of arrogance, a lot of ego. They don't learn, they don't go to learn. So you have in every city, you have a lot of salsa schools who are enclose themselves and they create their own universe and they want to be the king in this universe and they don't go to learn. So there is a lot of misknowledge and bad malpractice in the salsa scene.
Well, I certainly want to acknowledge you for, you know, the knowledge that you've shared with us, and for the way that you conveyed the knowledge, because it was accessible. It was digestible, right? Because I think the way that you broke everything down, you showcased the, you know, counts, you explained the downbeats versus upbeats, you showed us musical instruments. So it was very comprehensive information. I think it was very, very helpful. So I think I wish more people were able to see that and have access to that, because it start making you realize the relationship between musical instruments, rhythms, and how it all kind of flows together.
Yeah,
and it's a beautiful thing. I agree with you. I think it should be shared with the world as opposed to...
Well, I'm working on a platform. So because I cannot be everywhere, but we live in the era of internet and I can like... clone myself in videos, and I'm doing a platform and a very, very well constructed didactic from 0 to 100. Everything I have gathered the last 20 years in dancing and musicality, I'm putting it into that platform. So you can combine that with visiting real festivals and visiting real classes, and then you combine that with that internet knowledge and.
Yeah. Is this your main project that you're working on?
Yeah.
You still get to travel, or are you focusing?
I travel a lot. Yeah. Yes. Basically every weekend. I want to reduce a little bit because I have family. I have one daughter is 4.5. The other daughter is 3 months. And I really miss them when I go away for too long. One day away is nice to sleep, to read the paper, drink my coffee in peace. But then after the second, third day, I want to be home. So that's why I'm working on that online project to travel a little bit less in future or travel more concentrated, maybe work more on one, maybe do a little tour or work more intensively in one place and then go home and stay longer at home.
From a perspective of a dancer, we talked about kind of a musician, you know, experiences. As far as being a dancer, what really helped you the most? How did you practice? What did you do in order to really make your dancing as good as possible?
What helped me the most is to realize that, I don't know the name in English, but it's, there is a brain, there is a small brain in your brain, which is in charge of all the
movements.
I don't know the name in English of that part. In German it's Kleinhirn or Cerebelo in Spanish. I don't know in English. And it works like a recording machine. So if you practice, if you repeat something, it will remember the process you're repeating it. So your muscle memory.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to be very careful what you repeat, because whatever, if I repeat this, my muscle memory is going to remember this.
Right.
So when I'm going to be in autopilot, my body will be doing this. So better you practice your basics correctly, your stepping, your hips. So your muscle memory, when you practice, you have to be very slow and careful what you put into that computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you feed it wrong, the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
the output will be wrong. And that, when I realized how this part of the body works, it changed my way I trained. I always train slowly. I always sing it. I connect it immediately with music, and I do the music here. I sing it, Paco Chica Cucu, Paco Chica Cucu. And then when I feel that everything comes together, like in a Swiss watch, like the singing, the move, then I start working on speed, on expression. And I think the mistake a lot of dancers do is they start with expression, with speed, and then you feed the muscle memory is being trained in the wrong order, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Clean moves, coherent rhythm, and then from there, you can start building up your dancing. So when I realized this, my dancing became better, much better.
Would you, or when you danced that way, or when you practiced that way, did you prefer to do it without music, just by singing to yourself?
I try to, when I do a choreography, I try to sing the piece. So for example, I'm dancing, Paco Chica Cucu, a Paco Chica Cucu, to pa 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 cu tu cu tu pa 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 ru cu tu cu ti cu ti. I try to memorize.
Mm.
And then I dance only to what I memorized. So okay. It's in me, the choreography is in me. And then I dance it to the music. If you only dance it to the music, you are walking on the surface. You are not in.
Mm.
Yeah.
You wanted to connect it, remember what it was, connect it with the brain and transfer it to your body.
Yes. And it has to, you have to sing it. You have to anticipate every sound.
Mm.
It has to be in you. Because if you just go with the music or follow your teacher and you don't have it in you, it will always look fake. It will never look that it's coming from inside you. So I prefer, when I go to festivals, I prefer to see a show where I see the move comes from inside. He's feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I like the most in a dancer. When he's feeling it and he's doing it naturally because it's feeling, not because he's repeating it or because he's following some routine without feeling it.
Mm. What do you think for... Because you also... I guess the question that I didn't ask you, you were born in which country?
I was born in Germany, but I grew up in Ecuador, in
Ecuador.
South America. Yeah.
When you grew up in Ecuador, were you around the music and the things?
We Ecuadorians, we are not so salseros like Cali or like Cuba or Puerto Rico. But my mom, she loved old Cuban music, Sonora Matancera, Orquesta Aragón, and she always listened to that music. So the music was always in our home.
I see.
And I didn't appreciate that. It was like, oh, mom, turn that old music off.
Yeah.
I want to listen to classical guitar. I'm more sophisticated. That's bullshit music. And then after puberty with 16, 17, I started to miss that music, and it came back. Yeah. So yeah, I was confronted with that music because of my mom, basically. And in Latin America, you hear the music in radios or in parties at school. So you have more contact with salsa than, let's say, in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What do you think is next for salsa world in general?
I think without, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I think I have created like a movement that musicality is like very in now. So I think people will start concerning more about musicality, more about quality content, about dancing to the real sounds, real instrument, and not just dancing on the surface, moving without connection to the music. I think the salsa scene is going in this direction.
Mm.
And all the projects I'm doing with other dancers, with other musicians, are going in this direction. So I'm working on a musicality show with other musicians and dancers. So we create the whole song on stage, and one musician is maybe playing a solo, the other is dancing, then turning it around. And so that's what we are working on. But I think the salsa scene in general is moving more to a more musical way of dancing, and more being more interested in all the basics, all the knowledge. What's the name of that rhythm? How do you dance it? I think because of the internet era, you have access to all this information, and I think it's going in the right direction.
What are your thoughts about salsa music? I guess presently there hasn't been created as much salsa music as in the past. It's my perception. I don't know if you would agree with that or not, because if you look at bachata, they have remixes coming up. People get caught up, or they kind of get, you know, excited about bachata music because it has this pop sound to it.
Yeah.
You know, mainstream sound, so to speak, to it.
Yeah.
And salsa, there's so much great music, but it seemed to be kind of underground, or a lot of it is older music. We have Trabaranga, we have La Maxima, we have a few other bands, but it doesn't seem, obviously, we have like Mark Anthony and a couple other artists that really big and known.
Son Con Ron, my band, Son Con Ron.
Okay.
We're also doing
very
music.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. But do you feel like there needs to be more salsa music, or do you concern at all that there's not enough of it, you know, even comparison to bachata?
That's a very good question. Now, in Cuba, they create a lot of music every day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why the salsa world is only concentrating on Trombaramba, La Maxima, when you have other great bands in Cuba creating every day new sounds. So I think there is like a salsa people should open more their eyes, DJs especially, to play more the whole picture. And in terms of accessibility for new people, there is one project from Sergio, the producer from Mark Anthony. He's doing salsa with reggaetoneros.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to put that pop element or that urban element into salsa to attract the new salseros, which I think is important, because imagine you are 15 years old, you want to go out and you go into a bachata club. Nice, you have Shakira singing bachata, so it's very attractive. And if you go into a salsa club, they are still playing the old Fania records and still playing old stuff. So it's kind of hard to get new people into salsa. So I'm a big advocate of also creating newer projects to attract new people to salsa. And then if they like salsa, they will discover the classics. And
do you think, since you said Cubans create music every day,
yeah,
do you think it's a marketing issue that people don't know about, or what's the reason? Because it's a beautiful music, and I would think that more people be interested in it.
Yeah, I think I know a lot of DJs, and my biggest critique on a lot of DJs is they are just playing just a slightly piece of the cake.
Yes, yes.
And if you just to mention a few rhythms, you have salsa romántica, you have huahuanco, you have jazzy salsa, you have light timba, you have hard timba, you have traditional son, Cuban son, you have the new son, you have New York mambo, you have the Latin classics like Oscar de León or Grupo Niche, you have salsa with reggaeton. And I could go on and on. So 10 different styles. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a salsa party or to a festival, sometimes you just have salsa romántica and guaguancó.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other. It's like going to a restaurant and they are serving you just rice and salad. Where is the meat? Where are my beans? Where is my beer?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest critique. And I think the responsibility of a DJ is to educate the people.
Mm.
So they should dare also to play some Cuban music. And Cuban music is a little bit more spicy. They dare more. So sometimes it's not so easily digestible.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to Alain Perez, what he's doing now, ooh, sometimes it's complicated music. Mm-hmm. But you have to throw sometimes also these modern salsa songs.
Right.
Because otherwise we will still be listening in 100 years, still listening to the same old music.
Yes.
And music is evolving. And I think that's the DJ's responsibility.
Is there any artist that you would recommend, Cuban artist that you listening to that people should
know? Yeah, for example, Alain Perez is doing a lot of new stuff. Mm-hmm. Pedrito Martinez in New York is also doing collaborations with Eric Clapton, with Kenny Garrett. So very, very nice mixture. I mean, Eric Clapton has nothing to do with salsa. And then you have a Cuban conguero and singer doing this together, and they have a great song. And you can dance salsa to that song. I wouldn't label it as salsa. It's more a Afro-Cuban funk with blues experience. But still, try to be open-minded and listen to more sounds instead of just listening to the same old stuff. I also have a band with my brother and called Son Con Ron, and we also create every month new sounds. We are releasing our new song this week, and we are trying to do Cuban music for the line dancer. That's our concept.
Mm, that's so cool.
Yeah. So we want to bring the Cuban world and the line world closer together, because you have always Cuban festivals where they play timba the whole night, and that's also too much. And then you have the other congress is playing Wawanko or New York salsa the whole night, which is also boring.
Yeah.
Why don't you make a compromise? And
Yes.
That's my biggest wish, to find festivals who mix more and DJs who dare this journey from one style to another and guide the dance floor in a very clever way. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add that we didn't discuss that would be important?
I mean, to all listeners, if you're listening to this, you like salsa, and I think the most important thing is that you dance or you listen to this music because you like it and you feel good with yourself. Whatever style you dance, whatever rhythm, I think the most important thing is to have a good time with, mm-hmm. with yourself, with the music, enjoy life, because life can be over pretty quickly. So we are here and to have, not only to have fun, but salsa helps us to enjoy our moments here on earth. So I think that's, never forget that the fun part and the feeling good with oneself is, I think, the most important part.
Well, Anish, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with you, to share your wisdom, your knowledge, your perspective. It's been so insightful and so wonderful. I really, really appreciate it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Y que viva la salsa.
Thank you. Thank you.